Happy New Year. I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Pink Villa caught up with one of my favorite comedians, Adam Sandler. Adam said, "When I make movies, I want families to have a good time and I want every age to laugh. But when a little kid comes up to you and calls you by the name of your character in the movie, that moment feels great. I have kids come up to me all the time when I'm out eating and I stop and I hang out with them and talk to them as long as they want. That is really cool. I might not like Adam Sandler movies, and we'll talk about that in a second, but that's pretty cool." Adam talked about acting with his own kids. "My kids would crib on set, always wanted to leave early and make it look like I was forcing them to do it. Meanwhile, they'd be pestering me the whole year to be in a movie with me." So for the next 2 days on this podcast, I've been sitting on this for a while. It is a breakdown of every Adam Sandler movie. So twofold, I want to use it because it's fun. And also, you know, between the holidays here, the news has been a little slow. And if I use stuff on the weekend, I'll be really scraping bottom next week. So I've got these great Sandler episodes and I want to share them with you. That'll be the weekend edition of the podcast, Saturday and Sunday. Top Adam Sandler movies. Hey, Vulture spoke to David Letterman and the conversation went to the Mary Tyler Moore show. Letterman said, "I used to watch Mary Tyler Moore all the time when it was on, maybe it was on Nick at Night, but I fell in love with that all over again. I can remember Ted Baxter, they're all getting ready to go to lunch, and of course nobody wants to go to lunch with Ted Baxter, and Ted Baxter walks in and says, 'Hi Lou, hi Mary, hi Murray, what are you guys doing?' 'Oh, we're going to lunch, Ted.' 'Oh, where are you going to have lunch?' 'Well, we're going to that new Mexican restaurant around the corner.' And Ted says, 'Oh, I haven't had new Mexican food since I was in Albuquerque.' And I thought, come on, honest to God, that's as good as you're going to get. It was tremendous. If you had to sell a show, you could sell it on that one line. I don't think in the half hour form there's been anything, maybe things as funny, certainly not funnier." That reminds me, while I'm forward plugging, I have scheduled for Monday a look at the top 40 sitcoms of all time. Mary Tyler Moore is on the list. So this weekend, Sandler sitcoms. Back to Letterman. Vulture asked, "What was it like to work with Mary Tyler Moore?" Dave said, "First of all, I had no business being on that show. I couldn't have been happier because it was like a big deal. It was an hour with Mary Tyler Moore. This not the Mary Tyler Moore sitcom. This was the second series Mary did with Letterman. I did an hour with Mary Tyler Moore, legitimately America's sweetheart. We came on Sunday nights right after 60 Minutes. Then my heart started to sink every Wednesday when the choreographer would come in. What that meant was, 'All right, guys, we have to learn the new song and dance routine for the show.' A couple of times they found me unconscious in a rental car out in the parking lot, but luckily I was revived and I realized, I don't think I belong here. But that was a huge thing for them to have done for me, because when I left, I got to keep my wardrobe." Friday also asked Dave about his work on game shows. "Oh, my game show work. I just want to say, speaking of Betty White, then speaking of Alan Ludden, Liars Club, those people had me on there once a month. I loved that show. It was delightful. And again, nobody ever knew who I was, which was fine, but so many people gave me opportunities that I just now, thinking about them, realize how much I really cherished those experiences. For God's sake, if you think about the people I was working with and they allowed me to do that, that was great because I was just a dope from Indiana. Still am, by the way. I totally know that feeling Dave's talking about. I worked at SiriusXM for a decade, and I would find myself in some situation just being like, how did I get here? Just the people I'd be in the room with. Like, I'm a big Beach Boys fan. I got to work with the Beach Boys a couple times. I'm a Springsteen fan. I worked pretty closely with Steven Van Zandt for a while. All the comedians I met, all the Star Wars people I got to meet. Like, so cool. So I know the feeling, Dave. That's great. Jerry Seinfeld was on 60 Minutes way back when, and it's as if I parked things for New Year's Day knowing it'd be a slow news week. 60 Minutes asked Jerry, "What was your parents' parenting style?" Jerry said, "Complete neglect. Absolute, total neglect. Worked for me. It made me very independent. They were both orphans, so they had a natural independence." 60 Minutes was like, "Both your parents were orphans?" "Yes." "What impact do you think that had on your family growing up?" "It was fantastic. Complete self-reliance. That was expected. Now, you know, you end up having to raise yourself in a lot of ways. You know, I didn't know how to hold a fork, and I can't make a sandwich, you know? 18 years, not a hint of what to do." Henry Cho spoke about Jerry in the Kenosha News. He got some advice from Jerry. Henry is a clean comic, which means he doesn't swear or get vulgar on stage. Henry said Seinfeld told him he never understood why comedians would work so hard on a joke you can't use on TV. "I'm not a prude, but my advice to aspiring comics is to work clean. It opens up more doors for you. A lot of my jobs are corporate events, and these big companies have big budgets. They know I won't offend the CEO's wife." His other advice is, when you think of something funny, write it down, then try it out on stage. Stand-up comedy is the only form where you can just try. Vulture listed their 10 best comedy podcasts of 2020. Let's take a look here. Stay F. Homekins. Should we ever need a lighthearted time capsule for the year 2020, there's perhaps no better relic than Stay F. Homekins. This show, hosted by Paul F. Tompkins and his wife, documents the universal stages of quarantine, managing the channel the anger, frustration, and uncertainty of the world in hilarious banter. Paul F. Tompkins is funny. He's like, if you're like into comedy, you're like, yeah, I know Paul F. Tompkins. But if you're just like a casual fan, I don't think he's cut through yet. He is somebody you should definitely check out. Paul F. Tompkins. Good recommendation there. Double Threat was new in 2020, debuting just after the quarantine started in March. The listeners and producer are always on the lookout for the next embarrassing thing a high-on-his-horse canceled celebrity or multinational corporation has said or done. Haven't checked that one out. Number 8, they have Yeah, But Still, a storytelling podcast not in the overly rehearsed atmosphere of The Moth, but in a more organic form that comes from friends hanging out and shooting the business. Not grabbing me there, Vulture. Scam got us at number 7. Each week, actor and scam expert Lacey Mosley explores an exhaustive menu of true fun crime, from multi-level marketing schemes to dentistry fraud to many, many romance scams. Number 6, Urgent Care. This is Mitra Johari and Joel Kim Booster. Like 2 years ago, I was really hot on Joel Kim Booster. He's kind of lost me. I don't know why. I should give him another chance. I think some of the news stories during the year, I was like, I don't know. Throughout the past year, they've given completely unqualified advice on everything from what to do if you're a gay man secretly sleeping with two closeted brothers, to how to handle finding out your therapist is a stand-up comic, to the ethics of catfishing a celebrity. Not for me. Number 5, A Funny Feeling. At least this list is deep, right? It's not just like Joe Rogan and Marc Maron. This one is about listener-supported ghost stories. Not for me. Number 4 is Bananas. Vulture not only put it in their top 10, they did a split out on their website on December 31st about Bananas. This show focuses on strange, fascinating, and just plain Bananas news from around the world. Scotty Landis and Kurt Braunohler are your hosts. I think just Kurt alone will get me to check that out, and I've seen enough good things about it. Haven't heard it yet, but for reals, it's like in my download queue today to listen to. Number 3 is Smartless. Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, Will Arnett. They are famous enough without me plugging them. Number 2 is Newcomers, Lord of the Rings. They had previously done the Star Wars thing. Not for me. Number 1, Las Culturistas, Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang. And Yang is so awesome on SNL that this is definitely worth checking out. This year's guests, Will Ferrell, Bob the Drag Queen, and Parvati from Survivor. That's pretty random. Let me open up my list here and tell you what I listen to. Scrubs podcast, I'm probably about 40 episodes behind, but it's good. I've been into Bill Nye lately. That's not comedy, but that's just what I've been listening to. I discovered one called Comedy History 101 because this has an episode called History of Peep Show and Other U.S. Versions of British Comedy Shows, and they just did a 4-part series about John Belushi. Haven't gotten to listen to it yet. I'm busy, man, but I definitely want to check that out. How about Let's Get Lit, where the host reads a chapter of War of the Worlds paired up with a comedian. That's pretty good. Office Ladies, you know about. Auntie Donna, not just a funny Netflix show, but also a podcast. You could check that one out. That's good. Off Book is an improvised musical. Definitely funny. We've got Bill Burr in here, Gilbert Gottfried. You know about them. Whatever Happened to Pizza at McDonald's should be the very next thing you do. The episodes are very short. There's like 150 of them. Make that the next thing you do. Paul Scheer's movie podcast, Unspooled, is a lot of fun. And the Tim Dillon podcast. Been checking that out a lot. Like I say every time, it's awesome. But I feel like Tim's going to step on a landmine and I'm going to come on the podcast and be like, Tim Dillon, never heard of him. I never told you to listen to that podcast. What are you talking about? I never said I like that podcast a lot. I distance myself from such outrage. And of course, I hear that Daily Comedy News is pretty awesome and that you can follow that on Spotify, or you could subscribe on Overcast or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. Supposedly, that's pretty good. And this weekend, I'm told, they're going to spotlight Adam Sandler movies and then on Monday do a top 40 sitcoms thing. That sounds like you don't want to miss it. So don't miss it. Come back tomorrow. I mean, if you don't believe me, I got a review. This from SPFLD Guy. Thanks, SPFLD Guy. SPFLD Guy's review says, must listen, exclamation point, 5 stars for Daily Comedy News, and wrote, lots of fun and cool comedy news. Thank you, SPFLD Guy. Sorry it took me a few weeks to acknowledge your comment. I don't get those notifications right away, and if I forget to look, I'm a bad host. All right, that's your comedy news for today. 2021, rocking so far. Everybody having a great time, yeah? See you tomorrow.